Soldier Field, 24-17. Bears trying to get their 10th win. Here's the boot up in the air. Going up for it. Allen Robinson, he's got it!
I want to see the Bears give him an opportunity to prove that he can do that.
He's got the ball at the 43-yard line.
When all the signs in the world were there.
I think that'll be a fade to black moment with Allen Robinson taking it out of the air.
That's what you're really hoping for, that they really contribute to the team each year and that you build a great base and foundation.
And these loyal fans have been rewarded for their loyalty.
It was awesome. We picked up right where we left off. It was fantastic.
And they have a Bears team to be proud of right now. Takes the snap, takes a knee, they head to the field. The Bears have won it!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of 34 to Glory. I'm your host, Tyler Flesch, joined by my father and co-host, Brian Flesch.
Hey there, Bear fans.
Okay, let's get into it right off the rip here. Devastating loss. Kind of felt it was coming. We definitely talked ourselves out of what I figured would be the result, and then
I'll take ownership. I'm the one who talked us right into the fact that I thought that the Bears could run against the Chargers. Pretty much everyone else has run against the Chargers.
You mean pass?
I thought we could run against them also.
I thought we could pass.
Yeah.
They're the worst team in pass, against the pass. And they're one of the worst teams. They're not the worst, but they're bad. And
yeah, Washington has the honor of being the very worst in terms of pass defense. But yeah,
so,
I gotcha.
I'm not trying to throw shade on this podcast, and I'm not trying to be mean, but like Tyson Badgett, he's a cool dude. I get it, the charisma, but to sit here and try to just throw away Justin Fields after one performance is just mind-boggling to me. But we've talked about it on this show before. It's in Chicago, that's the next best thing, right? Who's the next backup? Who's the next guy? Like, it's always the next guy has this, like,
oh yeah,
this like new girl look about her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what I'm trying to say is just we got to hold off. Like, the system, again, we continue to get outcoached week in, week out. Somehow we get lucky, and we will play teams who have, like, I mean, we can knock the Raiders as much as we want, but they end up firing Josh McDaniel, and everyone's like, yeah, but they're still paying him for 4 years. I don't know why that affects people so much. I really don't, because guess what, guys? That doesn't affect the cap space, and it's also not your money, so who gives a shit? They got rid of the problem. You don't hold on to a problem because that problem continues to grow into a cancer that is called the Eberflus.
I am so glad you mentioned that, because that was right where I was going. I call him Everflub now, and I will not ever be addressing him by Eberflus. He's Everflub as far as I'm concerned, and he needs to go. So, first of all, just for context, Josh Daniels should have never been hired for the second time as a head coach. And in fact, we talked about that. Yeah. And so if you look at Everflub's record, it's one of the worst. It is the worst record of any Bears coach in Bears history. And in addition to that, it's one of the worst coaching records of all time in the NFL. It really, really bothered me this week when they came out. Well, I'll tell you what. I won't go there. I was going to talk about the culture, but let's cover the game.
Stay on the game, and then we'll work our way into everything else.
Yep.
Everyone kept saying, Tyson Badgett, though, he gets the ball out so much faster than Fields and so much this. Look, guys, I understand that, but he still threw two interceptions. You still saw a broken system. Look, just because he's the new kid and he has a ton of moxie, a ton of charisma, and he does, and he's very exciting, he's a very fun prospect, and he's fun to watch. We, as fans, need some reality checks.
Exactly.
You doesn't matter who we have. We could have Patrick Mahomes, that offense would not run, and I'm being dead serious. there is a serious problem with coaching within this organization. And it's not just being said on this podcast. Reach out to any Bears podcast.
Yeah.
Any Bears podcast.
So I want to use a metaphor here, and I think it fits. And that is, just like in a person trying to lose weight, you can't outrun a bad diet. No matter how much you exercise, you just can't outrun a bad diet. Guess what? You can't do the same thing with a quarterback. The quarterback cannot outrun a bad system. Okay? Absolutely cannot do it. What we have is a consistently bad system that even talented players are unable to work within that system and get the best out of them. And that's just the truth. We've seen it over and over and over again. It's one of the reasons why I want Everflub gone. I want Getsy gone. I want the whole cast and crew gone. And we saw that against the Chargers, right? We consistently don't know how. I mean, the play calling just drives me crazy with Getsy. It just absolutely drives me crazy with him. I mean, the guy, he's made a few adjustments, but he never makes enough. It's almost like, I'm going to come in here with a scripted game plan, and no matter what I observe in front of me, I am not changing that game plan. Maybe I'll change it a little bit in the second half, but I'm not changing it much at all based upon what my eyes see. Hey, guess what? Getsy, good offensive coordinators adjust the game plan for the defenses that are in front of them, for the formations they're seeing. There's a reason everyone picks on us. Oh, man, that zone coverage. I mean, Herbert and the Chargers just simply destroyed that zone coverage because Herbert knows how to throw against zone coverage. Most NFL quarterbacks, guys, know how to throw against zone coverage. And we give so much of it with so much leeway that, I mean, it was a field day. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's so easy. And I think, Tyler, that's one of the things about the Chargers game that, you know, and it's on me. I missed it. I thought we could run against them. I thought we could even throw against them a little bit, but we couldn't.
But you have the classic thing, and I'm not trying to, like, insult you or anything like that, but you're very much a in-the-moment guy. And you saw us come off a big win against the Raiders, and you said, hey, the Chargers aren't that good. And I saw it differently. It's a consistent letdown spot. It's consistent all the time. We've had a big win this season, it's followed by a dramatic loss. There's no consistency. There's no accountability.
I'll take ownership of that.
And I'm just saying, because I looked at this game and I even ate a lot of crow because, like, I was like, oh, Eckler's going to kill us. Well, he did. But then I took that back and said, oh, you know, he hasn't done anything this game, but he killed us. Like, through the air, not even run the ball. He had nothing on the run, but
But through the air, he was just. And guess what, gang? we're gonna play against the Saints at Kamara, and if you think Eckler gets a lot of throws, Kamara leads the NFL in throws from Carr. So that'll be interesting upcoming when we preview that one. But I just had to tie those two together because
it's
true.
Let's go back to what I was saying about getting the ball out quicker. Yes, Badgett gets the ball out quicker. He's still turning the ball over, so I don't understand the comparison there because I keep hearing, you know, if Fields could do that, if Fields could do what? If he gets the ball out quicker, if there's no one there, like it's just. We've failed Fields. We've failed every quarterback that has come through the door.
Okay.
Hold on. We have failed every single one. They're, like, to me right now, and we'll wrap up this game and the analysis because I got some things to say about a certain other GM. But you can't. This to me is like, why are we so blind? As a franchise, like, do they... I literally think they have all the TVs off, like they did for Mitch. I believe... Because the outside noise is so loud, it should be deafening. But again, they keep saying, and I want to talk about this too. Well, the Bears don't do this, and the Bears don't do that. There's a lot of the Bears way. And we're seeing it with Jalen Johnson right now. We're seeing it where they do not want to extend his contract. I am so livid on that. And we'll get to it here in a second. But I just want to know, like, what do you think's going on? Do you think that, because, I mean, it's not us. We're not the only ones sitting here going, these coaches are horrible. You have people who are studying film from Monday to Tuesday, and they go, when we get across the Bears, it's like they don't even watch film. They don't know what they're doing. It's like, you know what the perfect example is? Remember when they caught Johnny Football not watching film?
Yeah, yeah.
It reminds me that that's what Luke Getsy's doing. They're like, yeah. Hey, Luke, did you? But the problem is, you can't catch someone when you're even dumber as the head coach. Yeah. Like, he's like, man, this head coach is so stupid, he's never even going to check if I'm watching film.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you totally. Also, I want to comment on something with the Bagent Fields issue.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think this is really, really important. Okay. Listen to this very carefully and see if you think this makes sense. When Fields wasn't playing, they weren't giving him patterns of Bagent in his first game against Las Vegas. His average depth of target was 2.4 yards. 2.4 yards. Guess what? They weren't running routes like that with Fields in there, giving him an average throw of 2.4 yards. Anyone can get the – I'm 65 years old. I can get the ball away with an average depth of target of 2.4 yards.
Right.
That's a big difference.
That's after – but, like, that's another thing, right? The inconsistencies. We came out the very first play and threw a, 49-yard bomb to Mooney?
Yeah, yeah.
And then abandon. Then we're done with it.
Bingo.
It doesn't make any sense. And that's coaching. I want to be very clear what I'm about to say. I like Bagent. That is how you say his name.
Yeah.
Bagent. So yeah. I like Bagent. I like Tyson Bagent a lot. I think he has a future with the Bears. Will he ever be a starter? I don't know, because we don't have the coaching in place to see it. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, people keep wanting to focus on, well, Bagent gets the ball out quick. Well, Bagent throws some really bad balls, too, and makes some really bad decisions. Okay, yes, he's a rookie, and he will do that, and I'm fine with that, especially when we're failing as a team. To sit here and say that, oh, if Fields did this, it's like, guys, like, when I hear that, I'm like, why aren't we focusing on the coaching? The coaching is the problem. The coaching is just, like I said, we go a bomb, very first play. All right, guys, abandon that. We need to get DJ Moore involved. We're
going
to hit him with the little smoke screen on the outside. It's like, that's all they do. Look, DJ Moore is very good. He's very shifty, and he's very strong for as small as he is. He is an awesome talent. I don't mind that smoke screen when it's wide open, like if it's a check off, you know what I'm saying? Like if they drop back, yeah, swing it to him real quick. My problem is, well, you got a cornerback pressing up against it, like, I know it's coming, and we still throw it.
Yeah. Well, I just get pissed off because you can't compare Bagent's routes that were run for Bagent with the typical routes that are run for Fields and say Bagent gets the ball off quicker and Fields doesn't. Fields could get the ball off quicker at 2.4 yards per route.
But it's that thing, right? Stats lie.
Yeah.
Like, speaking of stats lie, right?
Okay, you got another big lie?
Well,
coming up?
I mean, look at the game, right? We lost 13-30. But if you look at the stats, the game should have been closer. And that's what I think that Eberflus does. I think he goes in and goes, guys, look at this. Look how well we did here. Look how well we did here. And it's like, oh, you're a fucking idiot, bud. Like, there's no... Like, I don't know how else to explain it, because, like, we had 295 yards, they had 352. We had two turnovers, they had one turnover. They had 20 first downs, we had 17 first downs. We possessed the ball 28 minutes, 32 seconds. They possessed the ball 31 minutes, 28 seconds. If you see those numbers, and you don't see the final score in your head, in my head, I know what I'm thinking. Wow, that was a close game.
So this is why Everflub has been saying we're just a play or two away. Okay? This is exactly the spot.
We're not. Like, that is so asinine. Like, he should be like, I really wish I could get in the media room. I'd be like, dude, you're so wrong. Like, because I would be disrespectful. Because you're being disrespectful to me. That's how I look at it. If you're going to sit here and say in a 13-30 game that we were only a couple plays away, I'm raising my hand and saying bullshit.
I'm saying I'm building on what you said in terms of if you just looked at the stats, Everflub is thinking, oh, we're not that far away. And
right, but what I'm saying is, why isn't the media grilling him more? Someone needs to.
Well, they should.
I mean, this is...
They're giving him a pass. And guess what? If you were in New York City, you would not get a pass like they do with the media in Chicago. You would not get away with that.
You're right. So,
and so that's part of it, too.
I mean, I think the biggest, and we continue to talk about him, and it's the biggest, shininess star is our tackle, our right tackle, and Darnell Wright.
Oh, man.
He's going to be a stud. Kid is going to be a stud.
God, he flattened a couple guys on a run that you just looked at that and went, damn. He opened up a hole that a semi could have gotten through.
I hope we can retain him.
I do, too, man.
Let's get into the Jalen Johnson. Let's get into what happened and what happened on the trade deadline on Halloween. Let's get into all that because there's a lot here to be said. I want to preface this by, now I use these guys a lot and I bring them up because, well, they're like the number one sports podcast, but they do an awesome job. But Kyle Long was on Pardon My Take, and Kyle Long said something very, very interesting. He said when his time with the Bears, they would not do, their policy is no extensions until the contract is up. They will not extend. That is their policy. So he said he got his extended, but he had to push. His dad told him, hey, just get that guaranteed money. It doesn't matter. Just make sure the guaranteed is a big number. Get the guarantee. You know, you got to get this done now. You got to get this done now. And he got it done. And it was well deserved. Which brings me back to the reason I brought that up is because look at what we're doing with Jalen Johnson. What the fuck are we doing? Are we rebuilding? Or are we... I've never been more confused on the moves that Ryan Poles is making. He could be a worse GM, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, than his... Than
Pace?
Pace.
Oh, my God.
Think of the moves he's doing. Jalen, okay, I was like, okay, they must want to rebuild. They must want to get rid of Jalen. You know, his 4 years is about to be up. They gave him permission to seek a trade. Nothing ever happened. They need to extend him.
Nothing ever happened because later on, Poles came out and said that they wanted a first-round draft pick or top of the second-round draft pick, and apparently other teams weren't willing to give that for Jalen Johnson.
I believe that's fair, and I'll defend Poles on that, mm-hmm. But now sign him.
Yeah.
Now re-sign him.
That's where proven, I was going to go.
He's proven his damn worth. And on top of that, this is why I say I don't know where we're at. Montez Sweat.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Nothing against him. Guy's a hell of an athlete. He's good.
He is.
He's got 6.5 sacks. And when are we in week 8? We're going into week 8 and he already has 6.5 sacks. Are we in week 9?
We're about to start week 9. We're at the Thursday night game.
So 8 games in, he has 6.5 sacks. Yep. The reason I don't understand, there's a couple reasons.
Yeah. Go for it, buddy.
The reason I don't understand it is one, what does it do? You have a bad team. You've had a bad team. You're not in contention. Why trade a second round pick this late to get him? Two, his contract's up this year. Okay. Montez Sweat, like everyone's thinking, oh, the Bears wouldn't trade him if they couldn't extend him. Well, here's the thing. Montez Sweat said a very interesting comment, and I'll read it to you. After leaving the Bears, Montez Sweat said he hasn't focused on his contract future or discussed an extension in Chicago with his agents. They haven't even talked about it. He's quoted as, "I just want to consider everything around me before I make a decision."
So let me tell you what that really means, because Montez Sweat was very political. Understand why he was political, but let me take the political stuff out of it and the diplomacy out of it. What he means is, I don't know if I want to be on this shitty team.
Also, it's a very smart play on him, because they're going to now throw bigger money at him. A lot bigger. I don't have a problem with him as a player. This is what I'm trying to say. If we were a good team and we got him, I'd be through the roof. We are a bad team with no identity, and we keep getting the most random ass pieces to the puzzle. It's like we are starting, you know how when you build a puzzle, you try to get the corner pieces first and then you fill in the middle? We have the middle scattered, and we don't have any corners down, where there is no foundation to this team whatsoever. When I saw that trade come across, I was like, what are we doing?
Hell, we're using puzzle pieces in someone else's puzzle. We don't even have the same pieces to put together.
Also, Montez Sweat is better than Young. I know Young got dealt to the 49ers for a third round.
Yeah.
For me, Young only has one move, and it's not working anymore. To me, that's a good move on the 49ers' behalf, because when the 49ers made that, they already have Bosa. Okay? So you know what I mean? Why not? If he doesn't work out, he doesn't work out. I get that. But like, when people are going, oh, well, we could have got Chase Young for a third round, we got the better player. But the point is, we shouldn't have got any player.
Yeah.
We should have just kept our draft picks and moved on.
So let me take you back in a time machine right now. We're going to head back to the last week of July. Here's what people were saying about the Bears. They were saying that we don't have much of a pass rush. They were saying that about us in July. Not just the local media, the national media was even saying that about the Bears. Is wonder how they can do. They don't have a lot of proven pass rushers. So the most puzzling thing about this is when you're heading on a downhill slope like we're heading, what in the world are you doing by even picking him up? I mean, okay, so you didn't even have a pre-conversation with this man or his agent that he would be, if he came to you, that he would be interested in some type of contract renewal. You're going to put him on this team only for the possibility of losing him at the end of the year? I mean, someone explain that logic to me. Can you explain that logic to me? Because I can't.
I mean, I think they're going to re-sign him, and I think they're going to overpay. I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, he's already put out that he doesn't know. It's very cryptic what he said. I want to keep all my options open and blah, blah, blah. But look, money talks. If he gets a big contract, if he gets the guaranteed money that he's looking for, he will stay with the Bears.
Will we do that?
Yeah, I mean, we have the cap room. Like, it's going to happen. Like, I guarantee it's going to happen. But I'm saying what you did now is now you got rid of a second-round pick, and now you're going to overplay for a player at a position that has notably gone downhill.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, well, how much are you going to pay him? Because, like, there hasn't been a real big pass rusher in the league. I mean, Aaron Donald gets doubled and triple-teamed all the time. I mean, I don't want to go into the Rams, but I feel like they really let him down in his career. Like, it's, you know, but anyhow, I just feel like you're bringing him in, and then if he's all we have, teams are definitely going to see that, and then he gets doubled and stuff. So
can I ask you kind of, how do you think he compares with, other than being younger, how does he compare with Khalil Mack?
I mean, he's got a lot more, like, Mack was a freak. I think that You're not going to see. So what happened with Mac is it was an immediate impact. What's going to happen, I feel like, with Sweat is it's going to be more consistency. You're just not going to have those big seasons. You're not going to, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that, that you're makes not sense. Have, I just like, wanted to hear what your thinking was because, you know, we got Mac, we let go of him.
Because he didn't do shit.
Yeah.
He had one, he had like one big season and then he went away. I think with Montez Sweat, you're going to get a lot more consistency from that position.
So maybe you don't have the huge, great, big season that Mac had, but you get the consistency.
You're going to get the consistency. You're going to get 10 sacks a year or around there, I really do feel like. But he needs help. He needs help. We need to bolster that defensive line. We need to bolster the offensive line. But again, that's been a consistency. That's been a thing of the whole project. Also found out Kevin Warner is only there. I brought him up multiple times, found out he's only there for the development of the stadium, so that's just a complete joke. Also, like, I brought up all the Bears' ways and stuff because it's like, obviously, McCaskey is still in control. Obviously, he's still pulling the strings because people are not getting signed, extensions are not getting dealt, and Kyle Long was playing with him, you know, far from, like, when that was happening, and then he said, well, that's the Bears' policy.
So basically, what you're saying is the Bears put lipstick on a pig.
What I'm saying
because,
is...
Because they make it look like they've got a new regime, but the pig is still there.
Right.
The lipstick is on, but the pig is still there.
And we have proven time and time again that we are not have the ability to adapt and overcome. Until this team gets sold, it's we're looking down the barrel at this because, like, Ryan Pace, like...
Well, yeah.
He screwed us, yeah. And now Ryan Poles. And, like, if you look at Pace and Poles, it's like they're the same fucking dude.
Yeah. So here's the thing that everybody knows in the NFL, that when you got a good defensive ends and a good defensive rush, it helps your cornerbacks and safeties. Everyone knows that. And when you got good cornerbacks and safeties, it helps your defensive pass rush. Here's the deal. I've watched Stevenson play for us. Everybody targets him. I mean, everybody targets him. That rookie is having a hell of a tough time this year. As long as he stays on the field, I don't care what kind of pass rush you get, okay? You're going to either have to sack the quarterback each time because if he gets that ball out of his hands and he successfully throws to the guy that Stevenson's on, it's going to get caught. That's the piece I don't understand. I really don't. Do you see that any differently?
But no, it's what we talked about with Getsy not adapting or overcoming, and Eberflus is doing the same damn thing. He doesn't know what he's doing. No one knows what he's doing. That, I mean, Stevenson's done. I've said that already on the last podcast. I know that you were like, well, I don't know. I mean, that guy is cooked, dude.
Yeah.
He's, I mean, not, it's not there.
The only reason I hesitated is I remember Peanut Tillman's first year with us, and man, he struggled. He was thrown on so much, and he struggled so much. And Peanut became one of the best, you know, at his position in the NFL.
But why? What did he do? He adapted and he overcame.
Exactly. He was able to...
He realized he wasn't good at the coverage as much as he was at punching the ball out and creating fumbles and turnovers, so he did that. That's not there with this team.
Yeah.
That's not
no,
there.
No, that's a really good point. It isn't there with this team. Again, it comes back to, what is this team's identity? We're on offense, we're not a pass team. We're not a rush team. On defense, we don't put pressure on the ball. We don't put pressure on people going out for passes. I don't know. I mean, the words vanilla and plain don't even come close to explaining what our offensive and defensive scheme is. We are just about as plain can get. You can see it on both sides of the ball that, I mean... You sit there, I sit there, guys, on Sunday, and I don't know if this is your experience, but I sit there as a fan, and when I'm calling plays, and I can tell exactly what the offense against our defense is doing, and vice versa, and I'm like, it's so apparent, and yet there's never an adjustment. I mean, come on. Where's the motion on offense? On defense, why don't you give it? Why don't you give the offense a different look? No, you give the offensive guys the same look each time. It's zone. It's real easy to read. Herbert showed us it's real easy to read. Almost everyone has shown us that it's real easy to read. Oh my God! I went through. You don't remember this, Ty, but in the 70s, I went through watching the Bears day in and day out, week in and week out, and the 70s were some of the worst Bear football around. I mean, we had guys like Bobby Douglas who could throw the ball 100 miles an hour, but literally had you didn't know where that ball was going to go. And I think it's as hard to watch the Bears now as it was in the 70s with some of the horrendous quarterbacks that we had. And it took us well into the 80s to turn that around. Are we on that trajectory?
Well, here's the thing, and there's a lot of stuff that is getting buried and not talked about and just kind of is getting a flyover, like, just, I don't know. What I'm trying to say is David Walker. No one's talking about David Walker. David Walker was a running back coach. David Walker has been fired and relieved of his duties to workplace behavior. Then Eberflus comes out and says that the culture and the standards are very high here. Okay, buddy, they were. We never had problems until your dumbass showed up. The people, he has no awareness of character. He cannot judge character. He cannot tell if a person is a good person or not. I understand that shit happens. But to have two coaches now, two coaches get relieved because of, and they won't talk about it, but we're pretty sure it has to do with sexual harassment, and that's just hearsay. I'm not saying that, but you know what I'm saying? We have never had these problems before. He comes in. You should have been fired a long time ago. You continue to be a stain on this team. Now, I don't know who's telling you he can't get fired. I feel like it's McCaskey again. I feel like he should just, you know what, just take your money, go get this new stadium, where, and that's a whole shit show in itself. They don't even know where the hell they're putting the damn thing now. Figure it the fuck out and get the fuck off Chicago. I am so tired of this. I am so tired. It's exhausting. How many times, if I fuck up that much in my job, because let's be honest here, folks. All a head coach is a supervisor. He's not the owner. He's not the GM. He's just a supervisor of men, and he brings in his own staff.
And what's the number one job of a supervisor? I'll tell you what. It's to monitor.
Right. But what I'm saying is he brings in his guys. His guys all suck. His guys all get fired. Why are you still here? You brought them in. You did. You were let go of a team because your whole ship sunk in Indianapolis. The simple fact that this guy continues to walk around and act like his shit don't stink is beyond me. I can't handle it anymore. What are we at now?
Yeah.
Five wins in 2 years, and they're like, hey, man, we're rebuilding. Look. Well, you can't rebuild when you keep going back, and we keep going back and back and back. Like, we might have the number one overall pick in the draft again.
We might.
And we might fuck that up. We probably will. I don't see, though, me saying all this, but it also starts with polls. Like, who does he answer to? There's no hierarchy with anything. There's no, like, we have no idea the structure. You know what it's like? It's like in the 1950s and stuff, when they didn't know that the mob was a thing. They're like, well, there's no such thing. You know, you didn't know that there was a hierarchy and like you didn't know how it worked and like lieutenants and stuff. We have no idea what's going on in Alice Hall.
So ignorance is bliss.
They're just running around like a chicken. And no, you know what? They have it set up so that no one. Have you noticed this too? They have it set up so that no one takes accountability.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They have well, figured out a perfect structure to say, hey guys, guess what?
Well, let me,
not us.
Yeah, Everflub, I've got a message for you. You know, earlier in the week, you talked about how you've got a very, very excellent culture. Let me tell you this. When other people are beginning to talk outside of the organization, are beginning to question your culture, and it's gotten so that the outside world can see into what that culture is, and it's that bad, guess what? That house has been on fire for quite some time, buddy. Okay? Because everyone can see the smoke. And when you, again, this comes down to integrity. Everflub, I don't mean to call you Flub because you're a flubber. You drop everything. Everflub, listen, when you have lied to us about the first firing, right? Oh, he's just not going to be here with the team this weekend. Oh, okay. Do you think I trust what you're saying to the media about this guy when both have gone to HR and you've already lied about the situation on the first time around? Everflub, you're part of the problem. You've already been caught lying and misleading people. That is not what leaders do in a good organization. In a good organization, leaders are transparent. What they say, they're congruent. What they say is what they do. They clearly tell the truth to the players, to the water boy, to the people serving Gatorade. From there on up, the truth is told in good organizations, regardless of whether the truth hurts or not. But to sit there or stand there, or I don't care what you're doing, and say that this is an excellent culture, give me a break. Don't you feel continuously lied to?
Well, yeah, and we've talked about that, and we've been over that. So I don't think we don't need to touch on that anymore. As far as this team goes, though, with the moves and the stuff we're making, I mean, at what point is he get fired? Like, it's the end of the season now, right?
Yeah.
It's official. Like,
yeah,
he's gotten his three wins, you know, yeah, or his, I mean we're sorry, ha- two.
Yep.
His two wins, three last year, two this year. If you look at your body of work, you should never get another. He'll never get it. If he gets another head coaching job, oh my God. You know what really sucks too is like, I was kind of like thinking about saying this, and then I was going to say it on the, like this podcast, or no, a couple podcasts ago, but then something happened. But I was like looking at the Bill Belichick situation, right? And I was like, you know, because it was very interesting. I was looking at it, and I was like, man, you know, they're kind of saying they want him out in New England, and then all of a sudden he signs a contract extension. I'm like, well, shit, there that goes.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to figure out what the hell we're doing. It'd be nice to hire a GM with – I'll be honest, I was high on polls at first. I thought, like, where he was coming from, you know, that's a good tree to pick from. The Kansas City tree continues to let us down constantly.
I mean, the only
thing I want from the Kansas City is the actual tree itself, and that's Andy Reid. Other than that, I can't.
Agreed.
I can't wrap my head around the failures of this team. Just when you think you know, like, and these wins are hurting us. These wins are absolutely hurting us. The fact that you sit there and you say, you know what? Everyone goes, oh, we get a win. Everything's fine, guys. It's like, when is five wins in a season good? No, it's not. But how's five wins in two seasons? Yes. Disastrous. Like, that's what I would be asking. I would be asking Ryan Poles, why hasn't he been fired? And then if Ryan Poles goes, well, we're not going to get into that. Okay, next question. Why haven't you been fired?
Yeah, I didn't want to go back and comment about the Belichick thing because, you know, I think I quite honestly, and this will probably be a very unpopular statement, I quite honestly wonder if Belichick was ever that good of a coach, and if it was just simply that anyone who had Tom Brady could have those kind of wins over the course of the year. Because look at Belichick's coaching record with Tom Brady and after Tom Brady. Whoa. You have the same defensive
scheme.
I'll
argue this all day and twice on Sunday, buddy. You are way off your marker.
Okay. Go for it. Go for it then. Because
what's one thing? Okay, what's Tom Brady done? When he left,
he won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay.
That,
he won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay.
And then after he went no. He went to a stacked team and won a Super Bowl. Then he couldn't do jack shit after that. Granted, he's older. Why do we keep doing this thing of is he better? Is he better? How about this? When two people who are that good come along, it's called a perfect marriage. And it was a perfect marriage. That's what that was. Because Belichick coached his ass off. The thing, we all look back and we cater everything to Tom Brady. Tom Brady, this is what I'm saying. They both were not the same without each other. Yes, Tom Brady went and won a Super Bowl. Okay, but then look where Tom Brady's career went after that. His personal life, everything. Like, if we're going to do this, right, and if we're going to point the numbers and the facts and all this, let's point then, and let's do it. There were many a game when Tom Brady didn't win the Super Bowl. Adam Vinatieri won a couple off his kicks. The way that the Patriots found ways to win with their defense. But we don't talk about that. We talk about Tom Brady.
I think that's a good
and
point.
And we talk about everything.
I miss that. That's a good point.
They always found ways to win. They always had players leave, and then they would welcome those players back because why? Those players fit their system. I think it's asinine to sit here and say, Belichick is done. He's fine. I'll take him. My God. Yes, please. Are you kidding me? You don't just win 6 Super Bowls. That just doesn't happen. That's not a thing that goes, well, you have the greatest quarterback ever. I'm not taking away from either. I think they both missed each other when they left. I think that it was a mixture, right? Tom didn't like the personnel that Bill was putting together, and Bill didn't like the ego that Tom was growing.
Yeah.
So they split up.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I'm saying I believe you're off, is because we forget all the defense with, like, Willie McGinnis, all of those guys, Teddy Bruschi, Ty Law. Remember what they would do to Indianapolis Colts?
Oh, how about Ty Law in the Super Bowl?
But what I'm saying is, Peyton Manning, ever heard of him? One of the greatest to play the game? Couldn't figure him out. Could not figure that defense out. That has to do with Belichick. Tom's not playing on the defensive side of the ball. That's why I sit here and I go, are we really going to do this? Because this is crazy to me.
Yeah, no, I think you, I tell you what, you called me out. Good call. You picked up on some things that I wasn't picking up on. When I look at it, I'm rethinking it totally. I agree with what you're saying.
But because everyone does that, right? Like, oh, he won a Super Bowl. Okay. Yes, but Tom comes in and Tom, you know, puts his, it's like Aaron Rodgers, right? It's the same thing. Why can't Randall Cobb play on any other team without Aaron Rodgers? It's because they have chemistry and he knows what Aaron Rodgers wants. It's the same thing with the Patriots. It's the same thing with Gronk. You know what I mean? When you come in and you've been around the league so long, like, you know, Rodgers put that new system in to the Jets. You know, so that's all that was. And by the way, I mean, just a side note, man, if Rodgers would have stayed healthy, the Jets would have been a problem. Holy shit.
Oh, my God. They would have been. I mean, I don't think they would have lost a game at this point in time had he stayed healthy.
I know that this is a Bears podcast, but, like, I do want to talk about some other things.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Aaron Rodgers? Like, I know everyone's freaking out about the videos and stuff being posted, but what are your thoughts on that? Because I have some thoughts, and mine are kind of contradicting what everyone else is saying.
So let me clarify. Are you talking about
him, dropping back and throwing? Have you seen the video?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like, yeah. this is wild. Like, he should not be doing this after tearing his Achilles.
Well, I don't know if that's the case because I'm not a medical person, but Aaron Rodgers, the way he takes care of his body, the physicians he uses, I can hardly see Aaron Rodgers going, oh, you know what? If my doctor said I shouldn't be doing this, maybe I shouldn't be doing it. I think he's doing exactly what his doctor is allowing him to do.
And I think I'm going the different way.
I think it's the rest of us that don't know that he's progressed. Got to remember this.
But you think he's hold on. You think he's listening to his doctors?
I think after the whole COVID thing and the vaccine, I think he's listening to his medical. I think he's listening to his medical physical therapists who are in coordination with his team of doctors, or hopefully are in coordination with his team of people. And I think he's following what he has been allowed to do at this point in time.
I disagree completely. No, man. Like, he just takes shots at Travis Kelce, calling him Mr. Pfizer. Look, I don't care what your take on doctors is or whatever, but he has been very clear that he's into some... I mean, this is the same guy that goes into a fucking dark room to decide his future. You think he's going to listen to the doctors? I don't know. I'm speculating that it's a definite no. I think what he's doing is, in my opinion, is... We don't know what kind of pain, like, I don't think he's taking painkillers. I don't think he's doing any of that, but that's what he's saying, but I don't know. There's a lot of not knowing, but what I do know is that Achilles injury is crazy to come back from. And I'm telling you right now, if he pushes it, it could end his career. Because what I'm saying is...
Well, that's part of the argument I was making, is why would you do that without medical...
Have you met him? Have you heard him? Have you listened to him? He is the most arrogant person in the world. I'm being dead serious. He fights against doctors all the time.
I believe in his arrogance, but at some point, don't you have to? Do you think he's that
arrogant?
He
goes into a dark room to decide his future. He's a nut job.
Okay. All right.
Well, he is self-involved in Aaron. Aaron is all about Aaron. The reason, okay, I have been following this dude for a long time. He used to be best friends with the Dan Le Batard show. The Le Batard show would always have him in. The Le Batard show asked him about the vaccine when COVID was going on, and it ripped their whole, he won't go on the show anymore. You know where he went? He went to Pat McAfee. Now, I'm not trying to throw shots at Pat McAfee, but everyone knows Pat McAfee's going to lob the softball questions. Pat McAfee's the fun guy. Aaron could go have fun here. He doesn't have to defend. He doesn't have to get into debates, even though he challenged, which is weird. This is why it's frustrating, Dad, because then he went into challenge Travis Kelce to a debate on the vaccine because he called him Mr. Pfizer and that whole thing. And I'm sitting here going... You just can't stay out of your own way, can you? He just soaks in that limelight so much. And the stuff he talks about and the things he does, I don't believe that he's listening to anybody except Aaron or going out and finding some you know, Alibaba across the world who's like, Aaron, you want to know what will really work, you know? Eat bull's penis. Like, I'm being dead serious.
Yeah, no, I get that. I may have mistaken this, but I thought Aaron received one of the most pioneering methods to repair an Achilles that's known to medicine at this point in time. And that maybe because of that, he was on a quicker track to return. Did I get that wrong?
No, I'm not discrediting that, but do we know that he's been being cleared? Have you seen the video where he's like, get off me, I'm gonna walk, and then they're saying don't walk? Have you seen that?
No, I did not see that one. Oh,
he's in the locker room and he's like, no, get off me, I know my body. He might have had that procedure. I'm not arguing the procedure. I'm arguing Aaron getting in Aaron's way. He is an egotistical maniac. He wants to come off as the cool dude, man. Hey, brother, peace and love. I don't care about anyone, but behind closed doors, I'm really a narcissistic asshole. Like, that's him.
Yeah, you may have nailed him a lot more than I have. So
I've listened to this dude. Like, I love the Lebertard show, and I was like, what? He doesn't want to come on anymore because he's getting hardball questions? This is astronomically insane. My point being is, I think what might end up happening to him, and I don't wish harm on anyone, I don't, but I think if he's going to rush back and try to play one hit, and then he's back to, what if he re-rips it? What if he's done? What if, like, he seems to be rushing this, and you know why I say this? Because, Dad, look at it. Look at me. It's a look at me, Louis situation, right?
Yeah.
Look how good I'm doing. Look how much I understand medicine. Look how much I'm really should be a scientist. Like, and a doctor. Like, it's all look at me. Like, he's out on the field. He knows what he's doing. My thing is, he could do this in private. He could do this off the field, but no. What does he want to do? He wants Taylor Swift in the building, and he's like, hey, I'm going to walk around when she's, this thing up.
If he tears an Achilles within 2 months of the original tear, I'm not sure that you can even play again.
No, I don't think you can.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but it's hard enough to come back in a slow progression of a torn Achilles. I guess I've never even heard of someone tearing it again within such a short period of time, or re-damaging it again.
I'm just saying, but we've crazy. Never seen someone come back in the same season.
Yeah, that'd be crazy, man.
My whole thing is, it's warning. I know we got on a little bit of a rant there, but like, it's football. Listen, if you like football, this show, speaking of Achilles, Kirk Cousins goes down, tears his Achilles now. He was playing out of his mind. He's down now. Where does he end up going? I mean, this leads back to the Bears. Division wide open. Hey, you know what, though?
It's not wide open with Detroit, No, Detroit's got it.
No, it was. You can't. I mean, it was wide open in the beginning.
I still think Detroit had the edge.
No, it was wide open. What do you mean? You really think that?
Yeah, I really do. I really do.
I disagree completely. Yeah, I don't think Detroit's that good. I think they're good for their division, but I don't know. I mean, they got stomped by the Ravens.
Yeah. I get it. I get it. It'll be interesting to see.
But you really think that? You think, because what I'm saying is, if we had better coaching, if we brought in the right players, that division's wide open. Jordan Love sucks, and it's great. That kid is bad. I mean, everyone keeps acting like he's a rookie. He sat for, 4 or 5 years behind Rodgers? And, like, he can't hit wide open. It's great. It's just great to see. I mean, if he goes somewhere else and he tears it up, good for him. As long as he doesn't tear it up in a Packers uniform, I'm fine with it.
Hey, I wanted to, now that you mentioned that, I wanted to let you know a couple people have messaged me, and basically their statement has been, I know how it now feels to be a Bears fan. They're Packers fans. And they're going, I know how it feels to be a Bears fan now after watching Love. And I'm like, yeah. Feels pretty damn good, doesn't it? Yeah, but we've been doing this for a lot longer than you guys have been doing it. I mean, you've been doing it for 2 months without Aaron Rodgers. We've been doing it for decades. Join the group.
Look, I feel like the division's wide open. I mean, I know where you're coming from with Detroit, but that's all in hindsight now. You're just saying in hindsight. But I'm saying, like, going into it, I thought it was wide open. And you look at the Vikings. They kept winning games by 1 point. We talked about that in the beginning of the season. We said, well, that's going to go away. You can't have that many close games go your way and then not digress. What I'm trying to say is, we had the talent that the Lions had. We just don't have the coaching. We should have been able to compete with the Lions this year. We should have been able to. And I'm just saying, credit to the Lions. I'm not trying to take anything away. I don't think they're as great as everyone thinks they are. Okay, they should have steamrolled the Raiders. They didn't. They continue to... I have a prediction that they are going to fall off towards the end of the year. I hope they win a playoff game. I really do. They haven't won a playoff game since, 91?
92.
You sure about that? I thought it was 1991.
Okay. I mean, we're only a year off, I guess, either way.
Hey, a year's a year for the Lions, okay? A year is a long time.
A year's a decade for the Lions, buddy.
Yeah, so I mean, you look at their team and, like, yeah, they got some studs. And, yeah, they're a good team. I'm not trying to take away from them. But we also, on paper, I was like, damn, we have a team this year. And then you forget about our coaching staff.
Have you changed your view on Dan Campbell of the Lions? I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah. No, I was way wrong on him. I thought he was a horrible coach. I thought it was a horrible hire. I thought he was just over the top, crazy man, didn't know football. He's changed the Lions franchise around. He's very good at understanding what he's not good at. And I think that's what makes a good head coach.
Well said.
He brings in, what is the offensive coordinator's name over there? Bus?
Yeah.
Something Bus. And what he's doing with Jared Goff, like, Jared Goff was yesterday's trash, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they got rid of him. They, you know, the Lions got rid of Stafford. They bring him in as part of the trade. Everyone's like, his career's over.
Yeah.
And you start to see the relationships that he has with the players all over the field. Amon St. Brown is just insane.
Yeah. So I want to share, you brought up something that he knows how to bring in people and surround people. And this is something that the Bears organization has never figured out. Do you know your head coach does not need to be the smartest man in the room? What your head coach needs to be is a guy who can surround himself with people that know what they're doing. Because a hell of a lot of very successful people aren't the smartest in the room, but they know how to surround themselves with people that allow them to utilize their skills to the best of their ability, and thus the team's best shows up. And it just, we consistently kind of miss that because we try to hire these gurus. We try to hire these people that are up and comers.
We don't.
Well, we think we have. We think we did.
No, we try to find the diamond. Like, we're not even hiring gurus, Dad. We're hiring nobodies to try to make them somebodies.
So, yeah, a guru from my imagination, or from the imagination I'm using, or from my own imagination, is basically who you think it is, not who it actually is. And I think we've been a little delusional about some of the hires we've had.
Hey, just to look, the Lions have a great schedule.
I know.
I said they might fall off, but I'm taking that back. They play the Chargers, the Bears, Packers, Saints, Bears again, Broncos. Then they play the Vikings, Lions, or the Lions. They play the Vikings, Cowboys, and then they play the Vikings again.
So that Cowboys might be their only loss.
And even then
they might not be. So they got a great. That's why I'm thinking they. I mean, I'm not saying when they get in the playoffs,
they might get a win though.
I think they're definitely getting in the playoffs. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how long they last.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't see them going far.
But by far they've got the division just well under control, especially with Cousins going.
But you got to be honest though, Dad. You. Going into the season, that division was wide open. That's what I'm trying to say.
I thought it was more wide. I think that's fair. I thought it was more wide open than what I had just said.
But, well, think about it, though. It's only one team.
Yeah.
Hey, the Packers suck. Bears suck. Vikings suck.
Yeah.
And it's only one team. So, and I mean, that's pretty wide open.
Yeah.
It's not like two teams are duking it out or even three. So, we have one team at the top.
So, definitionally speaking, what's the word for sucking beyond sucking? Because that's where we're at, right?
It's called don't ever use stupid cliches during your fucking press conferences.
Ah.
Remember, Matt Nagy said, we're here to beat the pack. That didn't happen. Then Ryan Poles came out and said, we're going to take the North and never give it back. He's 0-8 since he said that. We haven't even beaten a division opponent. So, that's really, really bad. That's just... pathetic.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a word that defined us better than sucking, and I also can't even think of the word that defines us better than sucking.
I also need the Lions to kind of lose, if I'm being honest here.
All right.
I have a future bet on Mike McDaniel as coach of the year.
I wondered about that. You were defending that position a little too hard.
I'm just saying.
All right.
No, I gave him his dues.
The truth comes out. Thank you for the truth.
I gave him his dues.
All right. I was going to call you Everflub for a second there.
Okay, let's break down the game for tomorrow. Saints, Bears, Bears at Saints.
Oh, my God. This could be the ass-whipping of a century, and I tell you why. Derek Carr loves to check the ball down to Kamara over and over. We watched what happened with Herbert and Eckler with the passing to the running back. You think that is going to happen? It is going to multiply that times 10, gang. I mean, Kamara could end up having a 250-yard, three-touchdown day against us. I'm not exaggerating that. I really am not. I mean, that's the kind of day it could be against us because we have such difficulty. So, wow. I'm just not. I love watching the Bears. I'll watch the entire game. But, man, I have so little hope that we can be competitive in this game. I can't even imagine, Tyler. Do you see it any differently?
No, I think we get blown out pretty good, pretty easily. The Saints are not a bad team. They're not a good team, but compared to us...
They're a great team compared to us.
I don't think we have an answer for Kamara. I think it's going to be a shit show. I think... Man, I don't know.
We don't have an answer for Olave. We don't have an answer for any of the wide receivers. We don't have an answer for Taysom Hill.
Weird feeling to trade for a player like Montez Sweat and not even really be hyped up to even watch him play.
No, I'm not. If we had a decent team around him, yeah, I would be so looking forward to this game. You and I would be so pumped up. Sorry. No, don't. I just don't think we...
I think what they're going to do is if they sit there, the Saints are probably going to sit in the zone and just nickel and dime us. But the problem is, I think the big plays are going to come from dink dunk downs to Kamara and stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's tons of mismatches with linebackers and just the system we play. It'd be nice if we could do something on offense. It'll be interesting to see what Tyson Bagent does. Again, not saying he's the future. I think he definitely has a future in the NFL. I think he has a future being a backup. And again, we don't know who he is because of the coaching that we have.
Yeah.
So,
yep. And to be fair to him, we're not going to see it on Sunday either.
Nope. So that's all for this week. Remember, it's always a good time when you
bear down.